pretend to. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
I'm fucking here too.
And Joe is here.
Yay.
He's fucking here.
Whoa, honey. We should have talked about that.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Let's get. All right. Okay. So, first of all, it's really late, and we'll tell you why in just a minute, but that means this is going to be a really short episode, and I'm serious about that. We're going to keep it actually
short. It's like for real this time.
So let's hurry up and get to what we're drinking, and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah.
What we're drinking is my homemade orange mead.
Mmm.
It's fucking delicious.
Oh, that smells amazing.
It tastes amazing.
Mm. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm drinking this.
Wow.
Orange peels.
I did orange peel last time around, a couple years back, and it became too bitter. And so this time I just added orange juice to secondary. I filtered orange juice and put it in secondary, and it worked out.
Cloves?
I didn't put any spice. Did I? I can't remember if I put clove in it or not. That's the
it
problem.
Tastes like there's clove. Like a clover and nutmeg.
I know I put clove in the last one, but I couldn't remember if I put clove in this one, so I must have. Either way.
Yeah, maybe you didn't clean out the bucket well enough.
Would it be cruel to name a child nutmeg?
Anyway, moving on. So,
Depends on where you send him to grade school.
Before we get into the thing that we did all together, we're going to have... Jenna had a thing happen.
Yeah, I turned 40, bitches. I'm old. So I partied as if I was 40 and not going to be able to party that hard much longer is basically what I did.
Yeah.
I took Thursday off of work and did fuck all. It was great. Yeah. Then Friday I got a massage and I got my hair done by Justin Link of Alchemy Salons. It is now garnet colored is what we were going for.
Yeah.
Like the darker aspects of garnet.
I thought it was eggplant. Mm.
You're an eggplant.
Face is an eggplant.
I know.
I believe you mean aubergine.
Yes. I speak American.
Actually, I think that would be English. Anyway, I don't remember. So, yeah. And then we did the sake crawl. And many people were in and out throughout the evening. Mm-hmm. And then later that evening, I was in and out. Anyway, yeah, and I didn't get pukey drunk this time, so that was great.
Ooh.
And then Saturday I had spent some time with my brother and then did board games at my place. And I opened a bottle of champagne with a scimitar.
Holy shit, yes you did.
Yeah, I did.
Hells to the yeah.
That was my idea.
Like, yeah, that was Joe's idea. I was like, oh man, I don't know. And he's like, no, I'm getting champagne and this is fucking happening.
There's video.
There is video somewhere. Oh, I haven't seen it.
To be fair, all I said was, I'm getting the champagne and hoping that it gets opened with a scimitar.
Yeah, but you said it like 15 times.
I believe I may have a copy of that video, and if I do, I will send it to Salsa.
Ooh. Well, I mean, I also just want a copy for my own purposes, but, you know.
Mm. For dark purposes.
Dark, dark purposes. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday was Boothie Hangout Day at Updown. Where we did much more gaming and merriment.
Fuck yes.
And there was lots of skee ball. And cause
you
fucking
kicked
skee ball.
All of our asses.
I'm really good at skee ball. I'm both happy and sad that Bree did not participate in the skee ball festivities because I love playing skee ball with Bree, but she would have whooped me like real hard.
Bree seems good at skee ball.
She's real fucking good at it. Mm. So yeah. And then about 4 o'clock, I went home and passed the fuck out for a while. So
a solid plan.
That was my birthday weekend.
Mm. That sounds you did it.
I did it. Victory is
you
mine.
Did it.
Woo!
Way to do it.
Yeah.
I was there for some of it, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. You were there for a decent chunk of
You're
it.
You're fun.
Yay! I'm fun.
I was there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Less time than I wish.
You got some salsa. Oh. You ate a shrimp face with me.
I did. I ate shrimp head.
Yeah, how was that for you?
Crunchy.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise it was fine.
Ugh.
Because you're eating the whole thing, carapace and all, It's like eating a shrimp tail with the tail part still on.
Kind of is. Not for everybody.
Yeah.
See, but, for me, it was the bitterness. The bitterness.
That didn't bother
me
at all.
It's not for everybody either. Well, I mean, have you ever? I mean, I know, I'm in the Great White North, but have you guys ever eaten a bunch of crawfish?
Yeah.
Nope.
Crawfish bakes are great.
Yeah, crawfish bakes or crawfish.
I've never just wholesale eaten the fucking head, but I've.
Well, I mean, it's with crawfish.
I've eaten the contents.
Well, with crawfish, you suck the juice out of the head, and it's a similar kind of funky.
Oh.
Bitterness.
See, I think
to I mean a feeling that's
head. Not
it's
a little
be
different.
My thing.
A little different.
I'll try it. But
the crawfish, the rest of the crawfish, you'd like because it's just like tasty
tiny lobster,
Cajun flavored lobster tail.
Yeah, ooh. And I'm fine with that because I'm not eating the carapace, which is the only part that bothered me is the crunchy outside.
See, I was fine with that part, but the bitterness. Like
Joe?
Once I took a bite into the bitter, I was like, nah.
I want to eat a shrimp face with you for my birthday.
Bite into the bitter.
All right.
Wait, a bite into the bitter is my new concept album.
Ooh, I like it.
Sounds nasty.
I know.
And yeah, James, that's just another excuse to go get sushi.
I'm in.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm in.
So there you go.
Yeah, I want to be there to support
this. It's not
this.
Like we need strong excuses to go eat a bunch of sushi.
Is it a Thursday? Let's go eat sushi.
Sounds fucking like it.
Yeah.
Much sushi was had. Much
yes.
sake was consumed.
Good.
It was a good time.
As a special bonus, Captain America and Kirky were in from out of town.
Yay!
So they got to stop by. Like, they stopped by, I think it was like 10 minutes after you left.
Captain Kirk?
Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Kirk.
You're fired.
I had a kid emergency. I had to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
but,
that's
like,
right.
Seriously, you missed him by like 10 minutes.
Oh, well.
And I love those kids. Hanging out with them was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I'm glad I could plan my to be born on that particular weekend so that they would be there for my birthday.
Yeah.
I did all of that 40 years ago.
Was
I planned
a 40-year con.
Very
I'm
advisable.
In it for the long game. Otherwise, I'm 40 and I feel old, but I also don't feel old. Yep.
Cool.
That's what 40 is for me. Run out of fucks to give. That's great. Yeah.
Kid's an adult.
Is that a...
Don't need to worry about that anymore.
Recent development?
Kind
Thought
of,
that too.
Actually.
It's now it's official.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now it's more accepted.
I see.
You're younger, you're supposed to give a fuck. Now that I'm over the hill...
When you're 37, they're like, but... You're fucks. You're supposed to give them. And now that you're 40, you're like, I give no fucks. And they go, oh
yeah.
Have you seen the Amy Schumer not fuckable age sketch?
I think so.
I haven't seen that one. I've seen the 12 Angry Men parody.
What?
Not fuckable enough to be on TV.
Oh.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
It's like... Patricia Arquette and Tina Fey, I think.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And, like,
I
one
think
other
I
person,
have seen
and,
this.
And they're basically celebrating the fact that they're old enough to no longer be fuckable, so they don't need to worry about getting the roles.
I have
you're
seen
sexualized.
That. She's, like, jogging and they stumble on them and, like, having a picnic
in
the middle of nowhere. No, I have seen that one. It's just been a while, yeah.
And they can actually get
roles that, was great.
That are roles as opposed to sex object roles. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, so that's me. I'm unfuckable now.
High five.
Boom. Boom. Joe. I'm unfuckable.
Up top.
Hey, got an unfuckable girlfriend. Awesome. We're not even married ever, and I can't fuck you anymore. Awesome. What? I don't know how marriage works.
I think this is news to Joe.
Yes.
I mean, he's always bucked the trend anyway, so...
That's actually his favorite position.
Yeah.
Trend fucker.
That's surprisingly filthy sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Wait, am I just a trend to you?
One that he's bucking.
I mean,
well, I'm okay with that.
You did just turn 40, so you kind of passed your prime. So
congratulations!
Oh my God. Oh.
You're trendy.
That's yay, silver lining.
You're at the age where most things are going to be silver now.
Oh, this is why I dye my hair. It's not actually why I dye my hair. I just don't like my natural hair color.
Oh, but, fair enough.
I mean, it looks like Salsa's, kind of, but a little blonder. Mm. Yeah, doesn't look good on me. I mean, it doesn't look good on Salsa either, but...
Shit.
Your hair doesn't look good on me. It's true.
Yes, this is accurate.
I can't give Salsa shit. He hooked us up with opera tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we done with the birthday?
Yeah.
All right. I'm fine with that. Joe dropped the lead there, but yeah, that's where we were. We were at the opera.
Yeah.
Being a classy.
I know. My wife, being a teacher, has access to... There's a program that basically is like connecting with the arts.
It's called Project Success. And that is when Jessa took me to see King Lear.
Mm.
It was through Project Success.
It's a fantastic program.
Yeah.
But she knows I love the opera, and we went to see Elektra. My wife does not like Elektra. And our kid had like gymnastics and stuff tonight. So she was like,
Shitty early 2000s Daredevil shitty movie spinoff.
Different from
the Strauss opera.
Wait, that's not what this was about? God, I got confused.
No wonder it was so. So instead of her going, she was like, hey, you should take AON to the opera. And I was yes, I absolutely should. And then Jenna had to bring her boyfriend along.
I didn't have to. I just asked because I know he likes opera.
Person. Yeah, I do stuff.
Yeah. It's like a musician. Good on you.
We went to see the opera by Levi Strauss.
Oh, my God. Yes.
James is wincing.
I'm so happy, but only because of James's reaction. Like, I would be angry at Salsa if James wasn't experiencing right now what I experience around him all the fucking time.
No, this is called payback, bitch.
Have some comeuppance.
Humble.
The staging on this, it was set in, like, 1940s Germany. And it was
probably more like early 30s.
I think the program said 29.
Metropolitan Metropolis.
When he was.
I have the book right here. I can look it up.
Not this book?
Propaganda.
Not what? Fritz Zwicky.
No, I have that this was book.
A. Oh.
Shit.
19.
Who made.
Metropolis.
Email this website.
Oh, Franz. Not Franz Liszt. Has been happening to me all fucking evening.
And crushing it.
It's also hilarious.
Yep. But anyway, the whole thing is it is him filming a movie of the play.
1929 called it.
Nice. Okay.
Great. Who's the filmmaker?
Fuck all.
That it was based on.
Fritz Lang.
Fritz Lang.
There it is. So it's Fritz Lang filming the play, you know, a movie, and we are watching. The audience is in
on
the
set.
Studio,
yeah,
observing the filming of this. So there's a little bit of meta going on. So you've got what's going on the stage, and then right in front of the stage is like the film crew.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a shadow cast.
But like down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's not like blocking it.
Yeah,
it's
not
like
in the way.
You can ignore them if you want.
Right. And so there was like the prologue was just a silent movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like the orchestra wasn't playing or anything. It was completely silent.
Yeah.
The prologue was a silent movie of Agamemnon.
Mm-hmm. The fall of Agamemnon. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's then the opera started. It's a one act, about an hour and 40 minutes long. And the main character, Elektra, is on stage for the whole fucking time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
And she, like, that is, I have heard that is one of the most demanding roles for a woman, just because she is on stage the whole time and has to go through
a
fucking huge range of emotion.
All of the emotion.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all very intense, you know, and so, and she did fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
Like the pipes on that woman.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
I was deeply impressed. I was almost a little more impressed by her sister Chrysanthia.
Chrysanthemum?
Different from
Chrysler.
Chrysler building. That's Chrysalis. Samsonite. I was way off. Fuck.
Salsa's actually looking this up. Yeah. I could grab my book right now, but I'm not gonna.
It was on the car ride over here. I was talking about how I came to appreciate opera, and Salsa definitely knows this from his mom.
Chrysothemis.
Sure. Fucking Greeks.
Yeah, they did do a lot of fucking.
Yeah, but not enough to spell sensically.
No, it was Sensicles.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
You're fired. Friend divorce.
Oh!
Friend divorce.
Oh, I get half of Joe's pianos.
No, you don't.
Wait, what?
You really don't.
You can have a bunch of 44-key pieces of shit from now on.
Oh, damn it.
I'm cutting them in half vertically.
Fine. Let's play half a piano better than you can play a whole one, bitch.
That is accurate.
Anyway, you were telling Salsa on the way.
No, the ridiculous athleticism that opera singers have to possess. Like, I sing at karaoke poorly because of chain smoke. But opera singers, like, they gotta, like, work out like Hugh Jackman and scream really pretty. It's fucking nuts.
I like scream really pretty.
It's...
As an opera descriptor, I think that is very accurate.
They don't use microphones, or they
no.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it threw me off because the guy playing Fritz Lang,
director,
the guy playing the director when he first came on because they did a little turn off your cell phones and shit
in character.
Which I'm a dweeb about that. I love that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit I'm all about.
Yeah.
He was mic'd for that. And I was like, that's weird. Oh, you're not going to say anything else. Okay. All right. Okay, here's the real opera people. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
The set design... I loved.
Wow.
I want those flats. Those rolling flats.
Oh,
my God. I'm making some. I don't know where I'm going to put them yet.
It really works for me because for those that don't know what Elektra is, look it up. We don't want to have to go through the whole thing. But, you know, she's somebody going through a lot of emotional strain and her mind is fractured. And so the whole background was these jagged, fractured edges. You know, and even the archway, you know, where people would enter, you know, instead of having this beautiful thing, filigreed thing above it, like even that was fractured and broken, and it really drove home that kind of slipping into madness feel right off the bat, which I really, really liked a lot. However, the staging, because it was this 1929 movie. Like, occasionally they would have this screen come down from the top, and they would be filming... They were actually filming the actors on the stage singing. And they would run it through a filter so it looked like black and white, old-timey
footage.
Are
you sure they were actually filming?
Sometimes.
At some point they were, yes.
Not all the time, but sometimes they were live streaming.
The hand motions matched.
Yep.
I know the hand motions matched, but a lot of good practice, and you can do... A lot of that.
No, I was...
That's why I was like...
I actually looked like the way her hair was falling and everything like that was matched up. It was exactly. So it was...
Scenes where we could see the flats behind them.
Yeah. So it was... Part of it was live streamed through a filter so it looked like a black and white movie with like grainy, you know, bits of fluff floating by and stuff like that. And then it would kind of cut to pre-recorded things with them on set. And they did a fantastic job making it look like an old 1929 movie set.
Yeah,
where it was kind of badly done.
Yes,
the carpentry / stone quote unquote stonework, but
they really nailed the aesthetic on that.
Where they actually would just go build a fucking city in the desert when they made movies and shit. Yeah,
But they would, so you're watching this opera, and then they've got this, like, every so often, and they did it at weird times, where they would just drop the screen down and then show, like, the movie.
There were times footage. Where it was super well done to show you, because
something was happening off stage or something.
Right, yeah, like that, the stairs at the back of the set mm-hmm. led up to
the house.
Yeah. Right, and so somebody would go dashing up there, and then the screen would drop down. I don't know about always having the screen dropping down, but I did appreciate mm-hmm. knowing where to look
yeah,
and then watching the events unfold purportedly offstage in the pre-recorded segment was, I thought that was really well done.
And in theory...
Overall, I agree.
In theory, mm-hmm. I really liked the idea, but in mm-hmm. the execution, I hated it.
I enjoyed it. I felt it... It shifted my brain in a very specific way to add to what they were doing.
It bothered me. I don't know why. Like I said, in theory,
it's because you're persnickety,
and that's possible too. But it bothered me, and I spent whenever the screen dropped down and they started doing that, I was just like, oh, why are you doing this?
I loved it.
You're also an opera snob, spawned from an opera snob.
Also,
so, like, that's gonna.
But they did have this. You know, like because it was a film set, mm-hmm. offstage was not offstage. Offstage right. was just not in the center of the stage.
Yeah.
Right.
So as soon as actors would get off of the center of the stage, they dropped character.
Yes.
And they were just
loved that.
The actors.
Except and for
that.
Except for Elektra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Because the whole conceit here is that the actress herself is starting to slip into. The madness
losing
where the character and herself are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she would kind of stay in character and be mad or crazy off stage. But all the other actors, like there was one point where her brother Orestes shows up and she's very happy and she's got this beautiful aria about how happy she is to see him. And he goes off camera. You know, we can still see him, but he's off camera. And he starts smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like you would do on a
on a 1929 movie
set. On a 1929 movie set.
Which exactly. Like,
yeah.
And that shit was
like
great.
The director character went over and would grab people to bring them in for the next
mm-hmm.
set
mm-hmm.
of shots.
And give them quick directions, yeah. you know, mimes like
behind,
directions. And,
behind the, right. the thing.
So your biggest thing was the movie screen thing, not any of that.
No, that part
that
I liked
meta-shit.
A lot.
Okay.
It was just the way the silent movie was executed.
All right.
Bugged me.
Because when you first told me, I thought you meant the whole meta thing. And I was like, that's...
I enjoyed all of that. It was the weird black and white movie showing above at the same time as stuff is happening on the stage.
Yeah, see, I loved
it. It bothered me. I didn't like that part at all.
I liked it a lot because for me, you know, obviously we as the audience, we're never going to get to see this film, in quotes,
right.
that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was... I can see that it would be distracting, but I also liked that I felt like I was watching them film it, but I also felt like I was in the theater watching what they had filmed.
I think if they had only done it for the quote-unquote back off-camera stuff, like, or, you know...
Sure.
Or like when Orestes goes into the house and, sure. and kills Clytemnestra and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that would have been
fine. I understand what you're saying.
It was when stuff was happening on stage.
I feel like having the stuff happening on stage and also getting the background stuff actually helped tie it together more.
I felt like they did it at weird times.
I feel like it would have felt disjointed if they had mm-hmm. only done the backstage stuff on the screen.
Hmm. I also feel like there were times... when mm-hmm. the characters were supposed to be somewhere other than the place represented by the tiny front apron of the stage, mm-hmm. the little bib of the stage, but they were also not supposed to be off the stage because of the staging and because their voices were present, and that... I don't know. It mm-hmm. it felt like that was a good opportunity to show them somewhere else without taking right. them out of the front of the stage.
Mm-hmm. Also, I also anymore just get excited when live theater gets money to play with and try something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
like honestly, I'm like, ooh, someone got A, money, and B, an idea. I mean, that's fucking great.
Like, this is the Minnesota opera. You don't, until you're in London or Paris, you don't get much.
I know, but
yeah.
The idea behind it was fucking phenomenal.
And again,
it's a super good idea.
I really like the idea. It just,
I also liked what they did with project. Well, you're wrong. no, but the other stuff that they did with projection, the lighting stuff up against the wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
that was cool.
The shadowy stuff. If somebody was describing something that was happening to somebody or something like that, they had a textured wall type thing that projection would go over for various times
onto
as
the
well.
Actual backdrop, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like the projector screen. I'm trying to be as clear with my words for the visual as possible. But yeah. So the projection would be on the actual basically back wall that was all textured and stuff. And it gave it this really cool something happening in somebody's memory or some kind of a recall type thing. I absolutely loved that. It was I think with the texturing and They found the right amount of light for it so that you could you had to try to see what was going on, but if you were trying you could see what was going on with projection, and I loved it.
Yeah. Well, and again, it wasn't distracting, but it was but it was clear enough.
But again, the backstage kind of itself was very jagged and disjointed, and so when you're shining a light on that, the image is jagged and disjointed as well. And so it really worked out very well.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was trying
to
say, yeah.
The set design and the art direction were both fucking outstanding.
Something we should also mention, instead of having actors on stage and the orchestra in the pit, the orchestra was behind the actors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever seen for an opera before.
I have. But a couple of times at the orchestra hall.
Okay.
And with it's almost that was almost more like an opera read through, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
Okay. So like maybe a door on wheels and they're just they're still acting.
A staged reading as opposed to
they're still acting and doing stuff and they're singing their asses off, but nowhere near all the costumes, all the fancy lights,
all the shit.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I liked how they staged the orchestra on either side of those stairs.
As did I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looked like it. Part of me fell for the conductor. I would think that'd be a pain in the ass. Because if you're a conductor, you're used to, like, you're here in the fucking middle, and everybody else is evenly dispersed, but now you've got here. I'm looking at this, and this fucking there's a gap.
And the yeah,
and I got a fucking I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But
the conductor did a super fucking great job.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The costumes reminded me of the kind of costumes that they would have worn in like old movies, and not.
Yeah,
not traditional opera costumes at all.
Right,
like the queen's headdress was very Metropolis.
Yeah,
it had that Fritz Lang aesthetic to it.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
Art Deco as fuck.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought the costuming was a good mesh of things that looked kind of Greekish, but were definitely of that
Art Deco lens.
Yeah. Although at one point I looked at the lead and I was like, oh god, she looks like Merida because of that dress with the slits
and the hair.
The dress was similar. It wasn't quite, but it was just enough for me to be like, ah, okay.
Who?
From Brave. Pixar's Brave.
it's a kids movie.
No. I have seen it.
That they were saying like, oh yes, you who are wasting away to a ghost of a slip of a girl who doesn't even look human anymore, and she's like a radiant opera singer.
Right.
And just like my stringy thin hair, she's got like huge gorgeous curls over her shoulder and everything. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the actress playing the actress playing the opera singer was portrayed by Daniel Day-Lewis. That's how that's how so meta dedicated. They went.
That, is, that guy is
with the character of Elektra losing her mind and herself in a role inside of a role.
That is,
they got Daniel Day-Lewis.
Phenomenal.
And he actually,
he's a very good singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
he a la Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. He actually went through surgery on his throat.
Never go full opera? What?
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis went full opera for his role in his portrayal. Don't quote me.
We may be making too many jokes at the same time.
Are we? But yeah, the again,
I'm not
the,
a comedian. I'm Daniel Day-Lewis.
The singing was absolutely amazing.
the fucking mask.
I will
old
say,
man Carruthers.
I do kind of understand why my wife doesn't like it though, because the whole opera is like, we can't do anything until a man shows up and saves us, you know, type thing.
I liked the whole "Hey sister, come kill our mom with me."
Yeah.
Yeah,
our brother's dead, so we have to do this. Yep.
although
that was petri.
Can I just say one thing? He is. Orestes shows up and he's like, "Don't you recognize your brother?" When he didn't recognize her at all.
Yeah,
that's also like, that's just an opera trope.
Yeah,
no,
like there's people like. Like raping everybody, being like, "Of course I'm your husband." Like in a bunch of other fucking shit.
I know.
Shit.
It's just
that's a soap opera evil twin.
It takes, you know, 20
thing.
Minutes for like, her to finally say her name, and he's like, "Oh my god, you're my sister! Don't you recognize your brother?" Oh, anyway, anybody else have thoughts on that?
I liked it. Yeah, I'm for it.
Go.
Go see some opera.
Go see the opera.
I mean, if you can.
Do go see the opera.
I got a question.
Yes.
What are your all's, or one of your all's, favorite operas?
Oh, shit.
Not counting the one we saw tonight.
The Abduction of Figaro by P.D.Q. Bach, clearly.
Mm.
Okay.
beyond that, I would have to go with either The Barber of Seville or The Fledermaus.
Ooh, all right. I can dig it.
I have to go with Carmen. Number one, I've played a few pieces from Carmen because the music is incredible. Also, seductress-y type stuff. I'm for that.
Slut.
But it was also like, so I was my elementary school was a music magnet. Mm-hmm. And we studied Carmen in there, and that was the first opera that I really got to see and get to know. And I had a teacher, the teacher for that, like, would explain various jokes and things that were being made during it. So I felt like I got more information out of it.
James?
I would say Pagliacci was my first opera. That has a special place in my heart. But Turandot. I really liked the story of Turandot.
Joe?
Does Jesus Christ Superstar count? There's no speaking.
It's a rock opera.
Everything's sung.
It is technically a rock opera.
Yeah.
I don't even believe in God anymore, but Jesus Christ Superstar is fucking awesome.
That is accurate.
All right, closing thoughts?
Way better than Cats. Everything is better than Cats.
Amen to that.
However, I still want to fucking see that movie. I hate... that I'm morbidly curious. This is my closing thought. I'm terrified.
You know what? Your curiosity will kill.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna get me.
Soul is what it's gonna kill.
It's gonna get me in a midnight opening of Cats, surrounded by furries trying to touch me. That's what it's gonna get.
I feel like we need to have a conversation.
Anybody else? Closing thoughts?
Thank you guys for seeing a show with me.
Yeah.
That was delightful.
That was fantastic.
Thank you to our listeners.
Oh, and we went to Mickey's beforehand. It was great.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We posted that on Facebook.
It was super fun. Yep.
I had a delicious burger, and there was a crazy person there, because it's Mickey's Diner.
Yes.
Yep. yeah, we were super classy before the opera.
Well, if we don't have anything else to say, okay. Like I said, we're going to keep this one short, and we're not even going to do a Fast Five, because we don't have one.
Aww.
Everyone, get on that.
Fast
so,
five.
Anything to plug? Anyone really quick? Plug?
Don't fart backwards. It hurts.
I am going to be at in Baraboo, Wisconsin this coming weekend at Rogues and Ruffians, a Renaissance Fest. Casimir will be doing 3 shows a day. Anybody else?
Double Blind is coming up.
Oh.
Yes.
Sure.
Not this coming Thursday, but the Thursday after.
I haven't been asked to perform it yet because that's how Double Blind works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll be there running box.
Normally, I have to email Eric and be like, "So, is Double Blind happening this month?" He's like, "Yeah, can you do that?"
You mean Eric Thompson?
Yeah.
Curse the French.
Bark, 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 bark.
All right. Well, if that is all, okay. Thank you so much for listening to this very short apropos of nothing. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, and Joe can speak for himself. Thank you for listening, and eat the fucking cake.
Not Joe, I'm Daniel Day-Lewis.
Bye, bye, love you, bye.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.